So if you have a look at Luke chapter 8, and verse 22, and we'll pray that God will anoint us and give us utterances in the Holy Ghost. Father, we bless you and honor you. We pray, dear God, as we share your word, that you'll open up our eyes, our ears, our hearts, Lord God. Draw out things that we hadn't seen before, Lord God, and we pray, Father, that you will minister to us and challenge us and feed us and bless us. Bless your people today. Hallelujah. Give you honor and glory and praise. Anoint us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it happened on a certain day in Whanganui that he got into a boat with his disciples. A certain day. And he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the waters, and they ceased. And there was a calm, but he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and waters, and they obey him." If you ever look at Mark chapter 4, it's exactly the same story. It has Mark adds a number of things. On the same day, verse 35, Mark chapter 4, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat onto the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind, saying to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly, and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" I want to talk about crossing over and the times when God tells us to do something and we cross over to the other side. Many of us do that without knowing. When you get married, you cross over from singleness to being married. And there's always an adjustment in doing that. And then after you get married, when you have your first baby, you cross over again. Now you got another person added to your life and you have the responsibility to look after them. So there is, in that sense, a crossing over. Then you have another one come along. And then you have another one come along. And then sometimes you don't get a baby and you're praying and you're asking God, because before you cross over from singleness to being married, the very thing that you wanted was a baby. And then you cross over and you marry this person and you think they're going to have a baby, but you get married and no child comes. So all these dynamics happen when you and I cross over, whether it's a literal river or a flood, or whether we cross from one country to another, when you relocate it from one place to another place, you cross over. Are you all right? And many times it takes a long time for your heart to catch up to your location. You can arrive in 23 hours from South Africa to Auckland, but to adjust from South Africa to Auckland may take more than 23 months. And yet you heard from God to come over. And many times we hear from God, even as churches, that God said, I want you to be able to do this, and then you move over, and things don't always go as you plan. Are you okay? How many agree with that? Yeah. And then you wonder if you ever heard from God in the first place. Did I really, really hear from God? Did he really say to do this? Because many times when we hear from God, we think that everything is going to be plain sailing. We forget that there's an enemy of our souls. We forget that there's a devil out there. And we forget that life is out there. And as we said many times, your theology may be absolutely correct, but it's going to be challenged by the reality of life. Are you okay? So here you're going ahead, doing the thing that God has called you to do. But the funny thing is this. God himself is in the boat. And you think, I heard from God. I know I heard from God. But now I'm heading to the other side. I'm crossing over. But it seems like I didn't hear from God. And one of the worst parts of obeying God in crossing over is that God goes to sleep. How many people have obeyed God and found he went to sleep? Only a few? And you say, the Bible clearly says, the God that watches over Israel neither sleeps nor slumbers. We know that. That's our theology. We know God never sleeps nor slumbers. He watches over us, our going out and our coming in, our rising up and our lying down when we go to bed. God neither sleeps nor slumbers, but there are many times that theology is challenged by our experience. Because we are going, Moses turned up and he said to the people of Israel, we are heading out of here, and they're heading out and said, where are we going? We are crossing over, we are going to a land flowing with milk and honey. And then they hit the Red Sea. And then everybody in the church challenged the vision of the pastor. Did he really hear from God? And then people can actually leave because they don't understand what's going on. And many people leave churches to go to other churches because they said, if our pastor really heard from God, this would never have happened. Well, wake up. The only problem is they go to another church and find that in that church, God is also asleep. And then they relocate to another city trying to find where God is. And then when they get there, they find God's asleep in the boat. And it's very difficult when things are going wrong. You pray and say, God, I'm in the middle of obeying you, and God goes to sleep. How many found that? You pray. It's not that you didn't pray. You pray like your life depended on it, and it seems as though God never answered the prayer. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? The problem is, God tells us to do things and never tells us what it's in the way. Are you all right? Many times God will tell us to do something, But it doesn't tell us what is in the way. And some people find God, but as they cross over, they find that things are getting difficult. And then they leave God. What do you leave God for? Is there something better than leaving God for? Is there something better than God? Are you all right? Amen. And how many times you cross over, is it? My goodness me. The problem is we don't even know that he's there. But he is there. It's just that, you know, as Job said, where are you? Why do you hide yourself behind the cloud? So they came to the Red Sea, and the people said, what do you bring us here for? Are there no graves in Egypt? The funny thing is, the fire was still there. There was Pharaoh, there was the pillar of fire, and there was them, and there was the Red Sea. God was still there. And many times we don't know that he's there. Sometimes because we are blinded. Sometimes you're so focused on what's there that we forget that he's there. So here's the disciples in the middle of crossing over. And they're fighting one another. But the Bible clearly tells us that Jesus was asleep. Are you okay? You think God sleeps? Now, the last time we shared, we talked about thinking ahead. What is Jesus doing sleeping when the church is in turmoil? What is Jesus doing sleeping when the disciples are fighting one another? What is Jesus doing sleeping when the disciples don't know the answer? But we said our attitude to 2020 determines the outcome, determines how we see things, determines what happens. Are you okay? So if Jesus is thinking ahead, what is he thinking about? Because one of the greatest tests of our faith is trusting God when you don't even know where you're heading. He does, but you don't. Hallelujah. Let me speculate for a little while. Jesus knew he wasn't going to be with them forever. So he had to teach them that one day I'm going, and when I'm going, I will send the Holy Ghost. But when I'm going, you're going to feel alone. And you're going to have to do it yourself. And this is a moment where the disciples were there with the assurance of his presence that he's there. And Jesus was giving them a chance to learn how to do things when he's gone and to learn to do it themselves. Are you all right? You know, sometimes in leadership, you don't necessarily have to lead. You just have to turn up. Your presence makes others confident to do what God has called them to do. Your very presence. That's why part of the reasons why the Bible says, for your sake, I go to the house of God. Don't forsake the assembly of the people together, especially as you see things not going well and the day of God's return is approaching. He said, don't forget that, because your presence, you may not have to do anything, but your very presence gives security to others so they can rebuke their storms. And sometimes in leadership, It's not necessarily that you do something. It's necessary that you turn up. You never know what your presence can do in the life of somebody that is struggling, and they see you and they said, yeah. Like that lady in the plane who kept on getting up when the plane was, and she kept on looking and looking, and she said to herself, as long as that man is in the plane, this plane will land. And sometimes, even your children, you come home from work or they come home from school. They say, Mom, you say, yeah, did you want something? No, I just wanted to know if you are home. That's why absenteeism, when fathers and mothers are not home, the children, they grow up very insecure many times. Because your presence gives them the security that they need so that when they grow up, they know how to build a family and they know how to deal with life. Good preaching, Pastor. Even if I don't bless you, I bless me. And many times our difficulty is we forget his presence when we are in trouble. We think, where is he? Well, talk to Paul. He had a shipwreck. He was in a storm, got bitten by a snake. He said, where is God? He's still there. Are you all right? How would you like to go through a storm and a shipwreck and a bitten by a snake? You think you come out and the storm at least is now gone. Then gathering sticks for a fire and a snake victim. And everybody said, well, he must have done something really bad. How many people in our theology see somebody struggling and said, if they really did this, this, and this, they wouldn't be struggling. Well, talk to Paul. He was a righteous man. He wrote more than half the New Testament books. And he was in a shipwreck in the middle of a storm, fasted because he didn't want to fast, but because it was in the middle of the storm, and then got bitten by a snake. How? Maybe I should preach a bit of a more positive sermon. But reality is reality. We worship God in spirit and in truth, spirit and reality. And if you're going to live life, you have to know life in all its reality. And sometimes the truth can be negative. Sometimes the reality is negative. But there's no power flow without the positive and the negative. Those of you who understand electricity, all right, you don't just have a positive pole, you have a negative pole, and the current will flow. Without that, there's no power. So the power is understanding that there is positiveness and negativeness, and the reality of life is that whether you live for God or not, you're going to encounter a storm. Well, I believe in God. And James said, the devil also believes. So learning to deal with instructions that you don't know what the end is. And a lot of people said, oh, God wants to take us to the next level. What next level? Have you been there? Define it for me. No, God will take you to the next level, but never tells you what the next level is. Because God wants us to live by faith and not by sight. Anyone can live by sight. You don't have to be a Christian to live by sight. But for Christians, we live by faith. Hallelujah. Are you all right? I'm not angry. I'm just trying to make a point. So sometimes the realities is your money run out before the end of the month. You want a nice dress for the wedding, it doesn't come. The rats eat the wiring in the fridge. And you don't have any money to pay for it. These are realities. And Lord, I believe in you. Of course we believe in God. But he's very present sometimes. When things are going down the gurgler, his very presence reassures us. Peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus Christ speaks peace within. And that's what the Bible says. When you have that peace, everything may fall around your ears, but there's a peace in your heart that supersedes all your understanding. And people wonder, things are going wrong for you. Well, what are you smiling for? It's a peace. And the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Don't let your heart tremble because of the virus. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will keep your heart and mind in Christ. Hallelujah. You okay? You live for God, you sacrifice, you, and the children go haywire. And people will criticize you because your children are not living right. Let me tell you something about God. Almost 100% of God's children don't live right. You are one of them. But you're right. Almost 100 of God's children fall seven times. 100% of God's children fall seven times a day. So that's good. Why? Because that means we are all on the same plane. But we are all children of God. Are you right? But Jesus, looking ahead, knew that there was a time coming when he will have to go and leave them on their own. And Thomas and others said, how do we know that you're going to be with us even when we can't see you? He that has my word is he that loves me, and he that loves me will be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and my Father and I will come unto him and make our abode with him. So when they woke Jesus up, and sometimes we need to wake him up. You read the Bible, it says, remind me. You mean you forget? No, he doesn't. But he wants you and he wants you and I and him to partner together. And he said, remind me. Yeah. Reading about Corrie ten Boom many years back, she'll open her Bible, kneel at the side of her bed, and then she'll take the Bible and said, now, this is what you said. Make good your word. Because God stands behind his word to see that the word will perform. And sometimes we need to remind him. We need to nudge him and tell him, wake up. Don't go to sleep now. I think there's another lesson there too. If you're a child of God and a storm comes, what do? Go to sleep. If we follow his footsteps, if we follow his life. When the storm comes, you know you heard from him. When the storm comes, what do? Sleep. But that's very hard to do because you sleep and the storm is blowing. If Jesus slept in the boat, why don't you sleep in the boat? When Christ is in my vessel, I can... That song is nice. But it should be rewritten. When Christ is in my vessel, I still don't smile at the storm. I panic in the storm. But then he woke up and he said to the wind, peace. If you read that literally in the Greek, you know what he said? Gag up. I wanted to say something else, but I won't say that. Because he didn't say that. But you read the meaning behind it, you know. Hallelujah. And then he said to the disciples, where is your faith? Which means that the disciples could have dealt with the storm. And there are many storms that blow in our lives. And the reason they blow and the reason you don't seem to find his presence in that storm is because he expects you and I to deal with it. Hallelujah. Are you all right? But this is something else they said. They said, Lord, carest not thou that we perish? What a thing to ask that one. What a thing you ask him. Don't you care? If I was someone said, excuse me, can you rephrase that? Don't you care? He left the splendor of heaven. He gave his life. He shed his blood. He suffered. And then we say, don't you care? Sometimes our memories are short. When things are not going our way. Are you okay? And we as a church are crossing over. We are thinking ahead, but we don't always know what's ahead. This child shall face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives, I'll face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. Life is worth the living just because he lives. And he's with me. Hallelujah. And everything is going to be